like every, we were going to 2-3 weddings a year, right? Mm. And you're just tired of going to weddings. She packed up, moved from Florida to Houston with me and stuff like that. We're staying together, all this stuff. And it was just, when is her time? You know, I told her I loved her. I showed her I loved her. I tried to do everything I can. And in her mind, it was just, you know, when are we going to do this? You know, how long are we going to just play this? What up, what up, what up, what up? It's Three Brothers No Sense, your favorite barbershop style podcast. I am Tavares Ferguson, a.k.a. Ferg, joined my co-host, Buff and Rizzy. Fellas, you know what to do.
The McRib is back, baby. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Just had me one. That was that extra 10 minutes I needed before we started recording. Had to get all that deliciousness inside of me. So, and I will let y'all know that Sophie tried it, and she said, I see why you get this every time. So she is on the McRib, too. So just letting y'all know.
She's 10. You have the taste palate of a 10-year-old.
It's good, bro. It never was. It's not good. It's not good for a I'm going to get it all the time, every time I go by McDonald's type thing. But, you know, they do a good job of rolling it out, letting you get a McRib. And then you don't get another McRib for 6 months. It's cool. It works. Anyway, if y'all haven't looked at Get Gotti on Netflix, it is actually a really good look at John Gotti and the mob era, the 1980s mob era in New York. So check that out. I think it's a 4-part series on how they had to try to get John Gotti and the New York mob. So check that out. It's pretty good there. And if you guys didn't know, we have had our first space battle. So Trump did something right and got the Space Force together in time, even though we didn't have nothing to do with it. But so Yemen shot a missile and Israel's missile defense system shot the missile down, and it happened above the Cayman line, which is kind of like what it's the break point to say that it's in space. And so since they shot the missile down in what we consider space, that is officially the first space battle in history. So yeah, we're in the space age for real. And it all had to do with Israel. So Israel's just breaking barriers and doing stuff that they ain't got no business doing. Anyway, so, but that's all I got, man. Just wanted to throw those little tidbits out there. Still excited about the McRib.
Yeah, I don't know how to follow that up, but I will say a couple of states had local and state elections this past Tuesday, and once again the Dems did well. I will say that Biden is still not. If you look at his poll numbers in the 5 swing states, he's down in 4 of the 5, and it's just still not looking good for him. Now you can go historically and say at this time in their presidency, Obama was down, Clinton was down, but this just really does feel, it feels different. And Trump is pulling like the black vote. He's almost at, I saw one poll that had him at 23% black vote. That's like 1 in every 4 black people are saying that they're going to vote for him. So that's just something to watch for. But the Dems once again did good. And that's mainly because of the whole abortion thing. The Supreme Court repeal Roe v. Wade, and they've been suffering ever since. And even Ann Coulter has said that abortion is becoming the GOP's version of defund the police, which while I agree with the theory in defund the police, the whole phrasing of it is very stupid when you're trying to sell that message to voters. But that was just, all of that is interesting. The Republicans are paying the price for it, and they're slowly, if you watch the last debate, you see like people like Nikki Haley who are speaking somewhat intelligently on it. You still have your hardcore people that are saying like, you know, it should be nationally 15 weeks abortion ban, but Some of the Republicans are coming around. The last thing I want to mention is, because we talked about this, you know, when it happened a few months ago, Darius, Kiki Palmer's baby father, allegedly was abusing her throughout the relationship. Pictures have been released of the alleged abuse. Does not look good. I see some people already are like, the men got nothing to say about this. They had everything to say about her dancing with Usher. A couple of things. One, that's a stupid argument to make. Let's just start there. That's just dumb. Okay. Three brothers has. We said something about it. And we're saying something about it now. Obviously, any reasonable person would tell you abuse is bad. We've said this many times on this show. But at the same time, what we were criticizing, or I guess you can say defending Darius on, was that, hey, we can understand how it may feel to see your woman grinding on another man. That's it. Nobody is condoning what he's alleged to have been doing or anything like that. We just call it how we see it. And at that time, that was the information we had. We had no idea what was going on behind their door. So to try to bring that all together in one and just say because people were defending him back then, they're defending this now.
Thank you, brother. Because I was going to mention that people are acting like men are walking around with Darius tattoos, Darius fan clubs. You know, like, hell, half the brothers didn't even know the dude's name. He was Kiki Palmer's baby daddy. And I this is a perfect example. Well, first, let me stop. I agree with you wholeheartedly. You know, abuse of any kind is bad. When I first saw that, I was kind of taken aback and I didn't know how to feel. And hopefully I don't get attacked for this, because part of me always wants abuse claims to be false for the simple fact I don't want people going through that. Like, I hurt for Kiki if what she's saying is true. Part of me is like, man, I hope that's wrong. I hope that's fake. I hope that this brother is not doing this to her, because nobody deserves that. So that is my official stance. Take it how you want, whatever. Certain things don't have to be said. It's like, if I don't come, maybe they do. You know what? I don't know the accusations. I don't know all the details. I will stand with you on this one, ladies. Because in a similar fashion, anytime something happens, like with a police officer or other things, we want others around him. And we're not around Darius. We just happen to be one of the two more popular genders. Because I'm not going to say one of the two genders, because I don't want to get, you know, one of the two more popular genders. If we're just saying male and female, like, we just happen to be the same gender. And so the thing about it is, we want others to speak out against wrongdoings, against, you know, others when they are in that same boat or they're connected to them. So, Darius, if you did that, then I hope you get everything that's coming for you. Kiki and any other woman or any other person who's going through abuse, our hearts go out with you, and we hope you find the help that you deserve and the peace that you deserve. But what I was saying was, certain times you just got to realize that, you know, it's not the same thing. We're not connected to that. You know, I hope it's fake. I hope, and it's just weird when I say it, not because like I don't want to believe it, or men, you know, I'm taking up for men. I hate to hear those type things, you know, if that makes sense.
It does speak to how, when dealing with physical abuse, that it's beyond the physical. It becomes mental, because you're looking at someone who had the resources, the money, and the power to definitely leave that situation much sooner if she wanted to. But it's you know, it's deeper than that when you're in a relationship with someone at times. And I guess I can see why people would say, well, why did she put up with that? Why didn't she leave? But I remember when we had Renata on here, she was one of the ones that spoke to that it's not just the physical abuse that they endure. It's a lot of mental as
and
well.
Part of the allegations, so if I remember correctly, were him threatening, almost holding her hostage through self-harm, right? And I have heard that a lot of people stay in relationships because of that.
You don't want to be responsible for that.
You know, I don't want to be responsible for the father of my child killing himself because I left him or whatever, and then maybe start blaming yourself for maybe I am doing this, and, you know, the victims start victim blaming themselves as well. So, Kiki, I hope, you know, I hope you're safe. I hope you get everything that you need. And Darius, may the odds be in your favor, brother. You know,
you thought women were against you before.
Yeah, and it's funny. Yeah. What was funny is always the comments for me. Like, I already knew it. It's like, how, like, you, we try to connect too many dots that aren't necessarily there.
Well, I saw that too. If you already knew it, then why didn't you educate us? When everybody was arguing about should he or shouldn't he be mad, you should have been saying, well, he's beating her too. But you didn't say that because you didn't know that. You didn't know.
So,
okay.
Yeah, it's too, things can be independent of each other. You know, the situation with her and him and that, from what we could tell, I'm not saying, you know, we already said how we felt about it. I like we said, Buff, I can understand how he could be upset that she's putting this situation out there on the, you know, in the social media atmosphere, and he responds in kind and stuff like that. But ours more so was like, do brothers have a safe space? You know, it was just that, you know, can in this situation or any situation now, you know, it's because this didn't work out well. Now brothers, you know, might really feel like they can't voice their opinion because anything else can come back and harm them. So it's, these things aren't just, they're not all related. Two things can be right and or wrong. You know, so.
Yeah. And what I will say is there's no argument to this current situation, right? He's wrong. Simple. If he did it, he's wrong. We're glad she's out. Like, what is it for us to come out on social media and discuss and talk about? Like, other than, unless we say, I agree he should have beat her, you know, and do the Miss Seeley thing. I mean, other than that, there's no argument there. So there was argument when we talked about her dancing, should she be allowed to or not. There's gray area, and there is a point of discussion when we talked about it before. There is nothing to talk about now. Like, we talk about DV, we know it's wrong. There's nothing for guys to come out and argue about or talk about. Let him have it. He deserves whatever he gets if it's true, and we just roll from there. Like, there's no argument.
Well said. All right, so I'm gonna start with, and this is delayed, it should have been, happy Veterans Day to all the veterans out there. You know, they're protect and serve. I don't know if we talked about this show, Gen V.
It's from The Boys. It's a spinoff of The Boys. Yeah, it's
pretty good.
Pretty
it
good.
It is just like The Boys. Some of the scenes are over the top with the violence and everything, but pretty good concept. I see where they're going. They connected the two shows really well, especially at the end. I don't know if you guys, well, I have two last things. Happened to watch Back to the Future 2 last night, which is definitely the worst Back to the Future.
It is.
But I didn't even watch. I just was kind of was just on in the background. And I don't know if you remember the scene when they first arrived in the future, which was 2015. And they had the 80s cafe. And how comical it was back then that they were talking about the 80s being like, you know, the past. And they're like, they're honoring it. And for a second, it made me feel super old because that was 2015 and they were making fun of the 80s. In 2015, 2020 through today, they were making fun of the 2000s. So the 80s seems old, but they're like, the kids are like, no, we're not even going back that far. This is what y'all did in the 90s and 2000s. I'm like, man, that's crazy that, you know, 35, 40 years sounds old, but they're like, no, dude, in the 2000s, they used to do this. And so for all you young people, screw you. We're not old. We're just experienced. And last but not least, Did you see, to your point, Risey, you brought this up when we were talking about hip hop and the lack of talent. I'm going to give you a quote and I'm going to tell you who said it. Hip hop don't have no fresh energy. None at all. It's money driven. Everybody trying to make that check. Nobody putting art in their albums anymore. Any guess who said that?
Wasn't that Yachty?
Nope.
Say that.
No, oh, Yachty's okay. Yachty would agree. No, Yachty is an example of what this person's talking about.
No, Yachty came out and he was just like, he was kind of saying that same thing. He's like, nobody's taking risks anymore, is what he said. So,
Three Stacks.
Andre. Oh, wow.
Yep. He came out just basically like, y'all ain't doing it. He ain't with it and stuff like that. So, Risey, one of the greats, agreed with you 100%. It's just like, you know, there's no investment in it. People are in it for the money game. There's no talent. So just thought that was interesting because I think he's very outspoken. I don't hear him saying a lot. And so for him to come out and say something like that, hopefully that's a segue into a new album or something. But who knows? With that being said, let's go ahead and jump into the questions, fellas. Well, actually, is Sophie available? Or she on a dinner date?
She is. Hold on one second. No. Or out on a birthday party. You know her. So hold on.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, look what we got.
Man, you with that beautiful afro. There's there's an Instagram. I got to find that dude that walks around.
Oh, yeah, with his hood on and he takes it off.
I'm going to find it for you.
I don't know. I know what you're talking about. I just don't know what the name of it is either.
Well, do you have a good joke for us today, Sophia?
Yes.
I'm ready.
Where do trees go to learn?
Where do trees go to learn?
Elementary school.
That was a good one. Was that an original, Sophie?
Yeah.
That was an original?
No, it's not an original. Sophie.
Okay.
No.
Okay. And Risey, that's how it's done.
I see.
They don't have to be originally funny. They're still funny.
No, they're... Yeah.
No.
He was just
Yeah, I was, you know, like, I thought she might have came up with that. I was like, I was impressed if that was a original.
Yeah, she's doing it.
All right, who's up first?
Probably you.
Okay. So my question is from a post from actually the end of last week, where it says, ladies, is it simply a matter of tradition that prevent you from ever proposing to a man? So we had a lot of we had comments, and you know, a lot of it was based on tradition and, you know, biblical text and a man's place and a woman's place. But brothers, I want to pick your brain on why or why not, and I'm going to ask for a different take this time. I think I would like to go first to get some points out there so you guys can kind of discuss or see if this gives you sways, not even sways, just gives you a different perspective. So would you agree that a lot of people are almost, they're staying together and almost playing married before they get married, like cohabitating? Is that more common now?
Definitely now.
Compared to, yeah.
And a lot of these people even probably have kids and things prior to getting married, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these couples are married, I mean, together for years. And I'll ask one last question for you guys. When you guys proposed, were your wives surprised that you proposed, or they were more surprised when you proposed?
I think mine was surprised.
That you proposed? She didn't know you were going to propose, or she just knew she didn't know when?
I think we always envisioned us being married, so probably the when.
Okay.
The when more than, like, not that I did, because you know, we had been together forever, but yeah, the when.
Okay, what about you, Rosie?
Yeah, I definitely think it was the when. I mean, we had already been talking about the future, our future, what we were going to do, right? Like, where we wanted to stay. And, like, we had envisioned a life together, a long life and a future together. So it was just the win, right? Like, yeah. it wasn't like, oh my God, he proposed, he's going to marry me, right? I mean, that was the assumption, yeah, automatically.
Yeah, and I feel like that's the norm. Same here. You know, Z knew I was going to propose, and in part she knew because she was getting a little impatient on when I was going to propose, right? So, do you think that's a norm for a lot of people? Like, it's when you get to that point, for a lot of them, it's, you know, well, Rosie's getting, you know, engaged, and Buffton got engaged. Like, it's that time for a lot of people. It's kind of, and then I also know some situations where people have ultimatums, right? You know, get off the pot. So the reason I bring this up is, with this in mind, women are saying that it's a man's job to propose and stuff like that. I'm not saying it's not. I'm not saying that this should be the norm, but I'm also saying that women should not take this off the plate for themselves as well, simply because in most cases, these things have already been discussed. It's not a, are you more in love with the idea of the romantic gesture? Because I know I've seen several situations where there's ultimatums thrown out. And so it makes me think to that, the famous Martin scene, right?
Mm-hmm.
Damn, Gina, I'll marry, like,
will you marry me?
Marry me. Like, that's the thing. It's rather than saying, okay, we're at this point, I need to know what's good. And Z and I were debating this other day, and it was like, I'm not asking a woman to maybe we need to restructure. I always come in thinking, if we had to start this whole dating thing over, how would we build it? And for me, it's like almost like a proposal, not a proposal, but a proposal. Like, if I'm the woman and we're sitting down, it's, hey, Rosie, you know, like, we've been together for years. We had kids together. We're doing this, this, and this. I think it's time that we take this to the next level, or we go in another direction. It's not, you know, I love you, I want to be with you for the rest of my life. I think this is, at a certain point, we need to make a decision where we're going to go. And that's almost like the proposal. Because the ultimatum is, you know, like, if we ain't married by the end of the year, you ain't did what you're supposed to do, yada, 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 I'm out. And it's almost like, now that I know, and it's out there, I have the chance. I'm not telling a woman to go do a huge gesture. I'm not saying go run out of a restaurant and get down on a knee and have violins playing and flowers come out and all this stuff. Just a serious, hey, I want to marry you. Do you want to marry me? Do you see yourself marrying me? We need to figure this out. Are you willing to consider this? If not, because there's only a couple of things that's going to happen. He's going to propose based off the ultimatum, and it's probably not going to work, and they're going to be miserable. He's not going to propose. They're going to stay together, and she's going to continue holding it over his head, which we've seen time and time again. He's not going to propose, and she's going to leave. You know, in the current state, I think we just have to readjust. I'm not saying this should be every situation, but I'm saying, hey, women, take control of your situations and put it out there, and not in a dominating I am woman, hear me roar type thing. Just like, put it out there. Don't waste your best years for somebody who's never going to do that. just because all you're gonna do is wait on, you're gonna wait 10 years for him to propose and he may never propose, versus you saying, hey Byron, I love you, I think I want to spend the rest of my life with you. We've talked about it for time now. We've done pretty much everything we can do to build a life together. I think it's time for you to make a decision. The ball is in your court on where we're going from here. And I just need to know sooner than later so I can start planning my life. You know, and not in a threatening way. Because most ultimately, when you hear ultimatum, you think it's a...
But is it... You said it nice, you packaged it, but it's the same as an ultimatum.
That's my point. You're already doing that. People are giving ultimatums today. But the ultimatum, it's a different... If you got that ultimatum, hey, we need to be figuring out what we're going to do by the end of the year versus a conversation like I had, which one are you more willing to receive?
Oh, yeah. It's definitely can be more well received.
And that's what I'm saying.
But I mean,
women are...
I don't...
Women are proposing
now.
The ultimatum is a proposal right now. That's what I'm saying. Like, it is. That's what I'm saying. If you rethink
it's a less romantic proposal.
You're like, nigga, we need to get married or I'm leaving. You know, you're proposing. You're telling him what you want to do. It's all out. You know, even when when you get down on a knee, you're almost giving an ultimatum for the most part. Like, hey, I want to spend the rest of my life with you. Will you marry me? If she says no, then you're like, I got some things to consider. Right? Your ultimatum's out there. When she's saying, hey, you need to marry me, if you love me, you'll be with me, you're already proposing. You're doing the exact same thing, but you want him to do this grandiose gesture. And I even said, hey, once you do your proposal, that gives him a time to actually do the proposal. Right? Like, it's now I can come back like, you know what? I heard what she said. You know, she's absolutely right. I need to get my together. Now I'm going to come back and propose to her. I'm going to do the romantic, the gesture that she would like. But we're so hell bent on you being silent or you giving these ultimatums in what it's called and who's seeing and who said what first that, you know, are we missing out? So my bad.
No, I agree with you 100% that you kind of stole my answer a little bit when it was my answer was the ultimatum is the proposal. It's the exact same thing. You're doing it now. It's just that you aren't doing it. It's that cheating and don't make me look stupid thing, right? Like, you can cheat behind closed doors, just don't make me look stupid out in front of the world. It's the same thing with the proposal. I can give you an ultimatum behind closed doors, but you need to propose to me out in public, right? And I think we got to get out of that, because truthfully, my proposal, you guys know my proposal, it probably was sucky in most people's minds. Right? Like, I slipped the ring on Jen's finger while she was asleep. So she woke up with the ring on, and then she found it. And so it was classic me, right? It was something that I'm not a get in front of everybody and do this thing and this grandiose gesture and stuff like that. I'm like, it's between me and you. And so I think that conversation that you're talking about, Ferg, can happen, and any one of you guys can bring that conversation up. Should we get married? Let's do this. Let's move to the next step. And if they don't want to do it, then as the person that brought it up, you gotta think about it. Do I want to ride this out for another 6 months, another year, or do I want to just kind of keep moving on? Because if I got ready and I'm like, hey, we've been at this for a year. I'm not saying you bring it up 2 weeks in or a month in, but you know, hey, we've been at this for a year. We've been at this for 2 years. I'm ready to go ahead and make this official. If you're not ready to make it official, then I'm out. I'm moving on with my life. Or you got to, at least now you know, and you can make that decision or that informed decision that I am going to ride it out for another year or 2 years or whatever and see where that person's mind. But like you said, for it drops that hint that you're ready. And so that other person can at least start thinking about it and be like, okay, they're ready to move forward. Do I want to do it or not? And can kind of make that call. But sometimes you got to lose that person, exactly with the Martin thing, right? Gina had to leave for Martin to understand that she is the one I want to be with. So I think having that conversation, male or female, whatever that other person says, you decide. If you got to leave, you leave. If you guys are meant to be together, you'll get back together. But I don't think that you need to, again, with this gender roles, I don't think it has to be one or the other that needs to surprise the other person with it. It really should be a conversation.
So my answer is I agree with pretty much everything Rozzy said. I just want to ask, what are some of the hints that Z was giving you for that?
Well,
she was ready for you to propose.
Well, because we got engaged at that time in our life where pretty much everybody was getting married. Yeah, you know, I think we all kind of had that, you know, probably late 20s, early mid 30s, we were going to 2-3 weddings a year, right? Mm. And you're just tired of going to weddings. She packed up, moved from Florida to Houston with me and stuff like that. We're staying together, all this stuff, and it was just, when is her time? You know, I told her I loved her. I showed her I loved her. I tried to do everything I can. In her mind, it was just, you know, when are we going to do this? You know, how long are we going to just play this? You know?
I am your wife. When am I going to be your wife?
Yeah,
we're doing literally everything that married couples do. Yeah.
And
I don't have the piece of paper.
And she wouldn't have stuck around much longer. I'm not saying like she would have left in 3-6 months, but it wouldn't be too. Z wasn't no long term girlfriend. Z wasn't going to be there for. I couldn't be with her today. She wouldn't have waited 10 years, you know. And because she's hearing what I say, you know, the way I talk about her, you're like, you're saying that you love me. And then when she came out, she's like, you know, we keep going to all these weddings, everybody else is getting married. Well, they started dating after we did, you know, and that, you know, it, all those things. And it was, and it's just, I think these are real life situations, right? Like people get a little impatient. They're like, we've been together. In her mind, what else is it going to take for me to show you that I love you and I want to be with you? And so, you know, before she had to give me a official ultimatum, but in my mind, I had already made up that I was going to propose. I was trying to get my life right. I was trying to get, and I think a lot of times men don't propose for, it's just a few reasons. One, we're just, you haven't qualified in our mind to be the one we want to spend the rest of our life with. We love you, but you know, this, it is what it is. It sounds harsh. Two, we're not at the state that we want to get married. We still got too much stuff that we want to do, like selfishly. And not in a bad way. Like I'm not ready. People aren't ready to settle down. I love you, but I ain't ready to, you know, give up all this. Another Andre 3000 quote comes to my mind. And three, you know, I think that's where I was, I had some personal goals, more so around financials and career progression that I wanted to accomplish to be more ready to be the person that could call myself her husband. Right. You know, I did a complete career reset right before we got married. So I was on a war path to have certain accomplishments done before I could feel that I deserve to have her as my wife and have those real conversations. You just never know what it really is. I can guarantee in probably 80-90% of the situation, it's just that, you know,
it's that personal feeling that you're good enough or ready enough. For that person.
Well, I'm not just saying that one.
Right. Especially,
it could be that you don't qualify to be my wife.
Right. Well, no, but I think in those situations where the guy's like, I want you to be my wife, but I got to do this and this and this. And you create this list of things that you got to do to be ready to marry them. Right. And I think a lot of times those conversations, if you can have those conversations, especially the women that give those ultimatums, you're telling him you're a good enough guy. You right now are good enough for me. I want to be your wife now. I don't want to be your wife when you get the good job and when you make the money. I want to be your wife tomorrow. I want, because I'm doing it and I love you right now. And I think that just having that conversation validates the guy enough that he'll be like, okay, I will go get you the ring I can afford right now. Because I was trying to wait so I can get you that 2-carat that you always talk about you want it. And it's going to take me a year and a half to save up for that. But that's what you want for the social media likes and all that stuff. And so that, I think, is a little bit of it too, is that, you know, you gotta make him feel comfortable that he can propose to you and he can do it right now as the person he is today. But a lot of women don't give that leeway and give that comfort, right? You give me the ultimatum that I gotta propose to you, but you also want that 3-carat diamond center cut like ring that's gonna cost me $16,000 and I make $35,000 a year. They don't make sense sometimes.
It's funny you say that, because, and I'll leave you with two things. that's a conversation that me and Z end up having is a lot of times this is why that proposal would benefit you, is because if you have a guy who's waiting and trying to accomplish these things, he's got in his mind what he needs to do, and you're like, instead of the ultimatum, you're sitting down having that conversation saying you're good enough and you're, you know, like, I want to be with you regardless. And then we just went, because Z's always researching stuff, and she just said, you know, this whole proposal thing and stuff we're doing is very Eurocentric and it's still fairly new. Prearranged marriages and things like that have a higher survival rate. Like, when you take out all the romance and all the, like, who proposes to who, it's just like, we're going to get married. This is the plan. We're going to do it. And I'm not saying that that I'm leaning towards prearranged marriages. I'm just saying that who's supposed to propose and who's supposed to do all this doesn't really matter. It doesn't necessarily equal success in marriage. Because you got to think, probably 99% of the marriages that we know of, he proposed, and 50% of the marriages we know of ended in a divorce. So it doesn't matter who proposes for us. It's the same damn results. You know, either you have the right person.
Because it used to be the dad of the daughter was proposing to the man, mm-hmm. right? Like, hey, here's my daughter.
Yeah.
You know, let's work some things out.
Yeah.
So it wasn't the guy going proposing to her times up until like the 20s, 30s anyway.
The proposal has nothing to do with the overall success of the marriage.
Yep.
So that's my question.
Love it, man. Good convo.
Who's up next?
I can't go in mine. Yeah. I definitely think it's going to be short.
That's what we always say.
That's what we always say, but I think this one might be because I think there. Well, it may be a longer conversation because I think there's some real strong opinions around this one. I stirred up a hornet's nest on one of my posts because I said that Kit Kats, Reese's, and Milky Ways are better than Snickers, and so I just want to throw it out there. I want you guys Mount Rushmore of candy bars. Make it a little bit easier. You don't have to rank them. You don't have to say which ones. And we can have that conversation because I 100% do think that Milky Ways are better than Snickers. Not saying Snickers is a bad candy bar. I do think the flavor profile is much better on a Milky Way.
Milky Way is the most... It is the...
Go ahead. Embarrass her.
Best worst candy ever. Milky Way is just so... It's just so, like, if you go trick or treating, and Milky Way would be the last candy I would eat before I started throwing my candy away.
So disrespectful. So,
like, I mean, eat my Snickers, my Kit Kats, everything. Milky Way is not bad. It's just like my mom said, you only have two pieces of candy. I had two, you know, Snickers, Kit Kats, and everything else, Reese's. I'm going to choose one of those over the Milky Way. And then when I had Milky Way and an Almond Joy left, Milky Way every time. Milky Way beats out all. Milky Way is the G League of freaking candy bars. Mm.
And they're the G League champs.
Yeah, they're the G League champs. They're the G League. They're that FCS champ. You know, every once in a while they'll pull an upset. They'll, you know, they might make it to the big leagues, you know, but at the end of the day, Milky Way's not bad. It's just like, it's the worst of the best, you know. They can go probably win a bowl game against a team that barely qualified for a bowl game. They're gonna go beat a FBS team.
They're gonna take out Toblerone and
all those. Not even considered.
Zeros.
Whatchamacallits, all those. So
Caramellos.
Yep.
Y'all remember Caramellos?
So Snickers, Reese's, Kit Kat.
So we are counting Reese's as a candy bar, even though.
Yes.
I was wondering.
Yeah, even though it's a cup, but yes, yeah, okay. Yeah. It's a
got to come back for my fourth. I'll let you go, Buff.
Snickers is the GOAT, and it's not even my favorite. But when you think candy bar, I think most people automatically think Snickers. So Snickers is the GOAT. Twix is probably the best out of all of them.
Twix, that's my bad. I forgot about Twix.
Yeah, Twix is. I had forgotten how good Twix is until this past Halloween. I was like, oh, shit. Twix. Milky Way is up there. I don't know what's wrong with people. I don't know how you have something against chocolate and caramel. I don't understand.
So boring. It's just so boring because you have it in other, you know, it's, you have chocolate and caramel and what, Twix? You have chocolate and caramel, like, it's not even caramel, it's nougat. Like, it's like, it's so boring.
Well, it has a little caramel in there, too. I mean, Snickers has caramel in there.
Just enough to be like,
it has more caramel flavor than Snickers does.
But yeah, I do want to make a controversial statement too. Kit Kat is trash.
No, that's not.
So Mount Rushmore Wafers. Is Milky Way, Snickers, Twix, and I'm gonna throw y'all a curveball for the people that are already mad at what I said. Kit Kat. I think Babe Ruth should be up there.
Baby Ruth?
Yeah. It's not that different than the Snickers.
It's absolutely everything Snickers is not.
It's chocolate, it's caramel, and it's peanuts. It's
too many peanuts.
Yeah.
It's just
too many peanuts.
It's too many peanuts. It's
not that different. Yeah. It's not that different from a Snickers. It's really not. Okay. It's not. Yeah.
It's like the chocolate
is chalky on a Baby Ruth. That's what.
Oh.
It's like the.
Okay, Willy Wonka. Okay. All right. All right. I didn't know I was dealing with chocolate connoisseurs on here and stuff. All right. Fine. Whatever. Longest Twix and Snickers is up there. And Milky Way. I think Milky Way deserves to be up there. I really don't care about the fourth. I'm willing to substitute Baby Ruth out for something else, but I think those are the four. And when I was young, I did like Three Musketeers, but like you said, for it is boring. It's really just, it's just
that
chocolate.
Whipped chocolate.
You know what? Yeah. I actually get Three Musketeers and Milky Way confused. They're just like better versions of...
So disrespectful. It's just, you know, the disrespect.
They're totally different.
I'm actually probably thinking of Three Musketeers.
Three Musketeers.
Because they're both.
I hate to beat up on Reese's because I eat Reese's.
Ooh, no, we're not
going to. Chocolate and peanut butter.
No,
and what are we doing here?
Because you know what? They keep trying to recreate it. It's a perfect ratio because they have the thin Reese's and all this stuff, and it's just like it's a perfect chocolate to peanut butter. No, you gonna listen to me. You gonna listen to me.
Peanut butter has one spouse, and it's jelly. That's it. They ain't trying to merge it with chocolate, and you merge it with that. No, put it in a cup.
Go get your Reese's. Go get your peanut butter and apples.
Peanut butter banana.
So Ryze, I don't need you.
You pregnant? Yeah. Hey,
I don't need your help on this one, bro. I don't need your help on this one. No. That's what we're not gonna do. Go get you a Reese's Pieces. I mean Reese's peanut butter cup, king size. Go put it in the Frigidaire.
Ooh. Oh, absolutely.
Oh, boy.
It's the only way to eat it.
So I can see how, like, fresh out of the, you know, the grocery store. I mean, it's still going to do it, but that, man. Now, Ryze, go ahead and give us your bullshit list so we can keep this. It's going to be something like, he's going to try to throw, like, Laffy Taffy freaking chocolate in there or something. Milky Way Klondike bar.
Hey, don't sleep on the Klondike bars.
But to be fair, Kit Kat is not in your Mount Rushmore, is it, Ferg? You said Snickers, Twix.
Snickers, Twix, Kit Kat, and Reese's.
Okay.
All right. Wow. Okay.
Unless I'm missing something, but yeah, that's what I get. If I go to the store,
my list. All right.
That's what I'm getting.
Mm. Yeah. So I'm going to go... Twix isn't going to be in mine. I like Twix, but it's not. So it's Snickers. Okay. All right. It is Milky Way, it is Kit Kat, and it's Reese's. Those are my four. I out of any candy bars out there, those are the four that I can get. And when I talk about like texture wise, flavor wise, like it just depends on what I really want. Do I want a lot of caramel? I'm gonna go with the Milky Way. Do I want more of the peanut butter, the peanut like crunch and stuff? I'm gonna go with a Snickers. If I want the peanut butter. I'm gonna go with the Reese's, and then the Kit Kat is for the crunch.
Yeah.
So it just really depends on. It's a wafer and
chocolate. What do you have against wafers, Buff?
I don't need that. I don't either. I'm good.
Yeah, that's just disrespectful. Yeah. These two bougie. Yeah,
Twix would be a hard fifth, though. Yeah. Twix would be a hard fifth.
I don't know how it's not in your Mount Rushmore, but okay. So Almond Joy and Miles, they're like the Brooklyn. They're like the Brooklyn Brawler. Like they
don't even know. They get thrown away.
I like Almond Joys. I will.
Of course,
pop an Almond
of course
Joy.
You do.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course.
It's the coconut with that little almond, that little one almond that they have on it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty good.
No, it's not.
It's not. It's I not. Doubt it, but okay.
Oh. You might as well eat a payday. Exactly. Come on.
Payday is my go-to when I'm hungry. So Payday is the best candy bar. If you're hungry and you want to eat a candy bar, eat a Payday because all the peanuts in there. Yeah, with
historically speaking, you are correct. That is the story behind Payday. They made their big break during the Great Depression. This is how bad this candy is, bro. It's like we have people near death that are starving. Let's capitalize with candy.
So the Hershey's, the cookies and cream Hershey's, is that considered a candy bar?
It is a candy bar, and it is pretty good.
Well, I would like to replace Baby Ruth with that.
Okay, I'll accept that.
I'll
fuck that up. Yeah.
The cookies and cream one, though.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Not the regular
regular chocolate. Yeah, no.
Side note, do you remember when that first dropped? We had a friend in high school, very intelligent young lady, and they put the cookies and cream in the snack machine. And her quote was, and I quote, "How does it not melt in the snack machine when it's not being frozen?" I end quote. All right, we're not going to talk about who that was, but I just looked at her with all the disgust I could, and just kept the party going.
We got time for one more, Ross? Right.
Yeah, we can do it. Let's go.
So earlier this year, we saw, on two different occasions, seemingly, Shannon Sharpe wanted to put them hands on Skip Bayless. The first time was when Skip pretty much said that Shannon was jealous of Tom Brady and pretty much just tried to downgrade his career. And then the other time was after the Damar Hamlin situation, where he was laid there, not just paralyzed, was he dead?
Near death, yes.
Near death,
I think he died a couple times, like either on the way to the hospital or at the hospital or something, yeah.
And Skip put out a tweet, and so Shannon didn't appear on the next day's episode. He came another day later, and as he's addressing it, Skip cut him off, and once again, like, it was on-air tension between those two, and it looked like he wanted to put hands on him. And of course, Shannon has now left the show and is on ESPN. I want to know, is there anything someone can say at our big age of 42 that would make you nearly want to put hands on them? And if so, what is that?
I don't know if it's a certain thing, but it would have to be somebody that I know and respect. Like, I don't expect the average person to have, you know, respect or, you know things, or, you know, for me, it would be one of you guys or somebody like that, that I know, love and respect, that knows things that are close to me and that are intimate with me to get me to that point. Right. Like, we've all experienced death lately. And if we downplay that and we just disregard that, and it's like to the point where it's like, man, I'm not talking about it. And you're like, really? Like, dog, you know what I was going through. Like, really? That's what we going to? Like, that's different. You know, like, you know, I lost my dad, my grandmother, some random dude off the street. Like, man, fuck your dad. Like, okay, whatever. You know, like, you know, I'm not thinking about that. But one of you guys disregarding that, you know, like, it would be something like that with my wife, my kid, like something that's really close, and you know what we're going through. You know, we're going through a tough time in my family and all. Yeah, buddy, like, I might not put my hands on you, but it's going to take something for me not to really go there with you. And I think our relationship, it'll be hard, if impossible, for our relationship to be repaired.
Okay.
I think for me, it's saying something to my kids sexually or something like that hands down, throwing hands. Like, you know, some guy walks up to Sophie and it's like, oh, that's a nice ass or something like yeah, that. Like, I'm fighting. Like, it ain't no, come on, baby, let's get away. Like, I'm hitting him in the face. So that's probably something for somebody that knows me, I think I kind of go along those lines for somebody that tries to downplay like my pain or something that they know really, really affects me or that affected me and hurt me. And then they try to like bring it up and use that as ammunition. So, you know, that whole Jada thing where she was like, you know, Tupac wouldn't do this or whatever. If you know that that's like my trigger, if you know that's something that's like super hurting me, wanting to put hands on you after that, wanting to choke you out or shake you is there. Now, granted, I'm a grown man. I'm probably going to control myself in all those situations. But at the same time, wanting to put hands on them is going to be that, right? It's going to be bringing that up. Like, you know, well, that's why Jen died or whatever, right? Like you bring that up and be like, or try to put that on me or whatever. I'm like, look, I've already been trying to deal with that it was my fault. And so now you're going to bring it up again and try to put it on me again. You're probably going to fight for that, yeah. Right? Like those types of things where you're really trying to call me out and like come in for me like that, I think is where it's going to
be different really coming from an outsider versus somebody in your inner circle.
Probably.
Yeah.
Right. Like you said, it's one of those things that they don't know. They don't know what I dealt with to get over it, right? And so it's not as big of a deal. I can control it, but it's that pain, it's that hurt for them saying it is what really causes you to put hands on.
If anybody had my back, it should be you. Like, you know, they don't have to, like, just saying something like that is just, you're a bad person regardless, you know, whether you know me or not, right? Like, there's no excusing it. But I don't expect anything from you. I expect certain things from you, brothers. You know what I'm saying? And so that's the thing. When I have expectations for you, that's when, and I think that was what probably would happen with Shannon. Like, there's a professionalism that I share with you. We respect each other. We probably joke and call each other brother and stuff like that. And then you just going to go out and do that? You going to downplay my career, really, dude? Like,
yeah, he was caught off guard
like
by that.
Like,
too,
you like, really? Yeah. That's where we're at? So, you know, right. My bad, Buff. Go ahead.
Well, before I give my answer, a white person calling y'all a nigger. No.
No.
I don't think so. All
right. So I think for
now,
me
now I'll caveat that if we're in a heated argument already and tensions are already up and they call me a nigga, that might be the thing that pops me over the top. But them just randomly calling me a nigga, no.
Now see, that's a great answer because I, not with a white person, but I was in a situation. Was it earlier this year or it may have been last year? I think it was earlier this year where I got in a heated argument with someone. It actually was over politics, as a matter of fact. But they didn't like the hypothetical idea that I proposed. And so we got into it and they wound up calling me a name. So I called them a name back. And I guess the name I called them made them more upset than it made me. And I said all that to say that I can't think of anything thing that would make me want to put hands on someone, but you know, the situation is what could cause it. Like, it depends on how heated the argument is, and I'm going to defend myself, so I may not necessarily, like, it may not be something you say to me that's going to make me strike you, but I'm probably going to say something back that I think I'm going to be ready, because I think, okay, once I say this, there's a chance it might pop off and I'm going to be ready for that. But I can't think of a thing someone can say to me. On the other hand, I think saying something to, like Rozzy said, my daughter or my wife will probably get me to strike you quicker than you saying something to me.
I agree. You
know, saying something to me, it's like,
Okay, and then when you pose a question, it was like they say something to you. Then so my thing's like, I'm always going to defend my family, right? It's going to be that. Right. And but there was a whole other post on something like that too. But if you made some,
I know what post you're talking about too. Yeah. I know what post you're talking about. That was a good post.
I think it's all situational, right? It's all situation because when we were growing up, 6th, 7th grade, all of somebody had to do was say is your mama. And you fighting like that, that was, it's not the situation, right? You know, I wasn't mature enough. I wasn't secure enough. I don't know what it was. Or I thought that's like, when you say that, I'm supposed to fight. Like, you're basically saying, let's fight. At 42, you know, like, if you're saying that, first I'm like, what did you just say? Like, are we in sixth grade? Like, what kind of, if I'm arguing with somebody and that is their, that is their response to a heated debate, then I'm probably going to exit that debate because, for one, I have lost all respect for your intellect, and therefore they might, you know, certain people, to me, there's certain red flags in situation like, yeah, this person probably have less to lose than I do. You know, like one of the posts I was talking about where somebody, like, somebody, you walk with somebody, they grab, you know, a group of guys grab a girlfriend's ass, so your wife's ass, what are you going to do? Is like, if random dudes are walking around grabbing chicks' ass, they're probably looking for a fight. Like, there's, you know, call it what you will, like, oh, nigga, you, nah, 42 years, we know, like, hey, dog, let's go to the mall and just grab some ass. Like, we never, you know, it just never happened, right? It's not like, dog, you want to fight? Man, yeah, I ain't had a fight in 2 weeks. Mall. Like, we're all agreeing. Like, we know the play. You know, we know how to get in the fight. Those are people you're like, you know what? We need to avoid this situation. There's something more going on to this than maybe I'm aware of. Maybe this is a guy that's the, you know, ready to do murder, death, kill. You know, like, he's murder, suicide type thing. Like, you don't know. Certain people have, there's certain red flags, so... You know.
And usually people do stuff like that when they're with a group.
Yes.
And they're feeling braver than they
actually
are.
Now, there's a chance the group is all punks too, but at the same time, is it worth the risk? You know?
Yeah.
My wife, my kids, anything like that, disrespect somebody close to me, yeah. But when it comes to me personally, I'm pretty much secure enough in myself for the average person not to really affect me. It's those close, you got to watch those closest to you, right? Those are the people that can hurt you the most, you know?
You can only be betrayed by someone that's close to you.
Yeah.
Can't be betrayed by
that you trust, right? Yeah.
All right. Good episode, fellas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
Payday's trash. Rizzy, y'all want to go ahead and close this out?
Yeah, I can, man. I don't know if we reported on it or not, the whole Russell Wilson booking Waffle House for Sierra's birthday. I think we mentioned it, but I wanted to bring it back up because, you know, we love to rag on Russell Wilson or whatever about that, but this caused this whole thing about, you know, I saw folks posting, oh, well, guys, you can rent Waffle House for so much money, so go ahead and do this. And I'm like, it's not about that. And people were missing the point. Like, we rag on Russell Wilson, but the thing about Russell Wilson and him being a good partner and the good dude, right, that he is to Sierra is that he listens to her and he knew that that was her favorite restaurant or favorite place to go. And he created an experience for his wife and what she loves and what she enjoys. So I just want to challenge guys out there and women too. Listen to your spouse, figure out what they want, figure out what they like, and create experiences, create something. Don't just go and get them a real expensive bag or spend a lot of money. Sometimes you can just create an experience for them that might be really inexpensive, but maybe the thing that really pushes it over the top. I know we're getting into the holidays. Times are tough with money and things like that, so just kind of think about that. Think about what your spouse wants and you know, build those experiences for them. So that's all I got, man.
We've talked about Mount Rushmores and fighting. Waffle House employees, they on the Mount Rushmore of the people that can fight.
That's why all
when
the greats
come to restaurants.
That's why all the greats go to train.
Number two is probably Popeyes, but Waffle House is definitely number one. The only thing I got is my question kind of, my example dealt with how the discussion started out with politics. And I want to say this. I am, especially once 45 is no longer a threat, I'm going to be less vested in who becomes president. You know, I'm going to vote and all that stuff and pay attention and all that. But I'm tired. And this country is stupid as f-. So what I'm going to go, how I'm going to proceed is this country will get the president it deserves. And so if y'all want 45 back in there, let me dial it back because I'm not supposed to be really speaking on him too much. If y'all want 45 back in there, have at it. He wins, he wins. And that's just how I'm going to proceed from now on. I'm no longer going to be up. Like last time I was up till like, you know, 1-2 in the morning to see who really won. And come on, Nevada, turn those votes in. And nah, man, this country is going to start getting the, it's going to get the president it deserves. And if that's who y'all want, so be it. I'm going to focus, and I encourage everybody else, man, just focus on creating the life for yourself and setting yourself up to where it really won't matter too much one way or the other who's president. You're going to be okay. Set yourself up and your family to where you're going to be straight for the most part. And whatever this dumbass country wants to do, let them do it, because it's just taking too much energy to care as much as I've had in the past. And I'm letting that go, man. I'm letting it go. And I encourage a lot of other people to do the same. If you feel like you're getting too vested in this whole political race, because this country is stupid.
That sounded real bootstrapped, Buff. But because I will say I get what you're saying. It's one of those things that you have to temper that how much you care and how much you let it keep you up at night with the, because truthfully, like you said, for us three, who's in office really doesn't matter. Truthfully, Republicans are actually better probably for us when you talk about the taxes, their economic standpoints and things like that. It's probably better for us personally.
Well, I don't make as much as you, sir, so it's probably better for you.
Whatever. So, but I mean, when we talk about like where we came from, right, the families and the people that are still home, and when we talk about that it does matter. And so I don't want people to get disillusioned with the system and not go vote because it doesn't matter, right? Or not go vote because whoever's in is whoever gets in. I think you need to do your part. I think you need to be vested enough that where you say, okay, I know what policies each person has. I'm going to go cast my vote. And then at that point, let it be what it's going to be.
You know what it is? Just, you know, make what it sure. is, Rozzy? It's the smart dumb people. So like, yeah, you're right. I do want to stress that. Please go vote. But if you're gonna sit around here and say, well, the unemployment rate was lower under 45 than it was under Obama, do you realize that when Obama first came into office, we were losing 750,000 jobs a month, and by the time he left office, we were gaining 500,000 jobs or more a month? He completely turned around the unemployment rate, especially for Black people. It was like the lowest it had been in, I think, 15 years or so like that, a very long time. So that trend did continue under his predecessor. But to give his predecessor the credit, Obama is the one that was getting that roller coaster started as far as getting that rate down. But when you just want to tell me, well, it was this under him, and not look at the full picture of it, I'm going to let you have it, man. Go ahead, put them back in office if that's what you want to do. It's cool. Yeah.
Well, they will. Yeah. And so you're wasting your breath. Because it's just there. It is going to be like you said, it is what it is. We're going to get the person we deserve. All you can do is prepare for the aftermath. Go learn your local politics. You know, we had 14 different propositions on our ballot this month. And a lot of people probably hadn't looked at any of them. So mine real quick is just a couple of shout outs. So first off, so I want to once again shout out my daughter Skylar. I went to her school Friday. They did a assembly for, you know, honoring the kids. So she had all A's, and I actually had mixed emotions when I went in, because they did honor a lot of kids for exemplary attendance. But that is a big thing. There's so many kids missing school these days that just having your school, your kid at school the vast majority of the days is a huge accomplishment, especially with what's going on in the world. So that, and outside of that, parents, if you have a chance to go spend time with your kids at school, spend time, you know, with their lunch, on their lunch breaks, or when they have assemblies, go. It means so much to them. Skylar, that is expectation now. She expects anything they have at the school for me to go. And I my job, my lifestyle affords me to be able to do that. But at the same time, when I saw kids who, you know, it was another, it was different stories. You had kids who were getting honored and their parents couldn't be there, you know. And we tried to clap the loudest for them. And it's not, I'm not blaming parents, but then you also had kids who parents usually, because I'm at everything, that usually aren't there. The joy on their faces when they saw mom or dad show up, because all the kids want is your time. That's all they want is your time. And you can see the admiration in other kids' faces that wanted their parents there, you know. So there's that. And last but not least, November is one of my favorite months just because so many things go on in November. So November 9th is one of my favorite days of the year, because 22 years ago, I crossed the burning sands of Omega Psi into the Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated, the greatest fraternity in the world. And then 15 years ago, I met my wife on that same day. So November 9th just is like a special day for me. And according to her, since we've been dating for 15 years, so the day she met me, we started dating, you know, that's debatable.
That's how it goes.
Yeah, that post we were talking about earlier today. And then we're entering, when this post drops, we will be entering Achievement Week for our fraternity, where we honor and our brothers who have done great things throughout the year, and honor the fraternity as a whole, because November 17th, we'll be celebrating our fraternity's anniversary. So we're going into 112 years of being in existence. So November, special month for us. So it's just a celebration. Like Kanye says, celebration, bitch. With that being said, Three Brothers No Sense, favorite barbershop style podcast. Listen, like, share, subscribe, comment, and most importantly, listen again. Talk to you next week.
What up, Contentville?